You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
New York indie media reporter Brad Will was shot and killed on October 27, 2006 during a teacher's strike in the Mexican city of Oaxaca. Josh Wolf was incarcerated for contempt earlier this year after refusing to provide a U.S. federal grand jury with unedited video of an anti-capitalist protest in San Francisco in 2005. These two journalists reported from a perspective independent of vested interests of states and corporations and in solidarity with grassroots people's struggles. And when the media that is owned by those corporations reports on their cases, their status as journalists is dismissed. John Ross wrote an op-ed piece called The War on Rebel Journalists, which can be found on Counterpunch, and contrasts the media coverage of these two journalists with the coverage afforded to mainstream journalists facing similar circumstances. He's the author of Zapatistas, Making Another World Possible, Chronicles of Resistance 2000 to 2006. And he joins me on the phone this morning from San Francisco. Good morning, John.
How are you doing, Peter?
Fine, thanks. Now, Brad Will was killed in Oaxaca this past October. What were the circumstances surrounding his death?
Okay. Brad Will was a New York-based indie media reporter. Indie media has been kind of the fountainhead of the independent media covering struggles of people's resistance all around the world. Since Seattle, since 1999, since the demonstrations against the World Trade Organization in Seattle, that's where indie media was founded. So Brad's political orientation is pretty clear, I think. I knew him actually in other places in Latin America, Bolivia, and in Chiapas, actually, where he was on January 1st of last year for the kickoff of the Zapatistas' other campaign. So he's been doing some work in Mexico, but basically flew in from New York City to Oaxaca, which had been occupied for the last 6 months by a collective sit-in of striking teachers and members of the Oaxaca People's Popular People's Assembly, the APU, who were demanding the removal of a governor who had been fraudulently elected and who used repression as an instrument of maintaining his power. That struggle involved a sit-in or a planton occupation of the central plaza of the city of Oaxaca, the capital of the state, and actually many other places around the state. Of over 1,000 barricades were thrown up in the states during those months. And indeed, Brad was on one of those barricades in a suburb of Oaxaca City, Santa Lucia, when they were attacked by gunmen wearing red shirts, which is always the mark in Oaxaca of those in the employ of the governor, Ulysses Ruiz. They proved to be off-duty police officers as well. The film that Brad was shooting from the barricades clearly shows these people advancing on him and the barricades and opening fire as they do it, and then suddenly he's hit and he goes down. And there seems to be little question that, in fact, the bullets were fired by these men who were later arrested and held for about a week and then released. Just this past week, as a matter of fact. Brad was hit in the stomach, did not die instantly, was put in a car, taken to a hospital. The car ran out of gas. A series of events took place, and Brad died before he got to the hospital. He is the first foreign reporter killed in Mexico in a great number of years, and one of a number of Mexican reporters or reporters working in Mexico that have been killed in the past year. As a matter of fact, over eight reporters have been killed in Mexico this past year, most as a result of reporting on drug gangs and drug corruption. Brad's case is a little distinct because it definitely was a political killing.
How's the corporate media treated Brad's death?
Well, I think that we saw a kind of wave of reportage on Brad's death because he was an American, but not because he was a reporter. And in that sense, I think that, you know, some of that was highly misplaced, since 19 other people had been killed by these same death squads in the state of Oaxaca, and the U.S. press didn't really report, and the Canadian press did not really report on those deaths. When Brad was killed, he became the center of attention, and protests were held at consulates all over the world, actually. The New York Times and the Los Angeles Times and other, you know, there are four major newspapers in the U.S., the L.A. Times, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal. All of them, the Wall Street Journal did not even report on it, but the other three papers classified Brad as an activist. He had indeed been a tree sitter and a squatter in New York and had reported on the movements from the inside as both an activist and a journalist. It's a kind of a craft that I practice myself and have practiced for almost 50 years now, working from inside the movement and reporting on what goes on down below. But he was immediately dismissed as being an activist and not a reporter, despite the fact that he was sending back daily feeds to indie media, and that they were being up, they were being put on the page, and the whole world had an opportunity to see his writing and his graphics. Clearly was a reporter, and again, it is kind of this J-school snobism, elite corporate media ways of dealing with someone that doesn't go to journalism school and it does things from a more unorthodox and participatory point of departure.
Very interesting. Now, Josh Wolf was jailed after refusing to provide a federal grand jury with unedited video of the 2005 G8 protest in San Francisco. Why did the grand jury want the video?
There was an altercation with the police during the march down Mission Street in the Mission District of San Francisco. One police officer was said to be injured in an attempt to perhaps light a mattress on fire underneath a police car, at least the police so claimed, and they wanted that film from Josh to go to the grand jury and indict the people involved. Josh Wolf is a young man, a very young man, 23 years old. He is essentially a blogger, and this is really one of his first forays into actual the journalism mainstream, if we can call it that. At least the punishment meted out to him has been in that framework. Josh, very much like Brad, was also treated as an activist, an anarchist. He was a kind of post-adolescence, because he was young, and a blogger. And that's, of course, I think to say that blogging, which is really, you know, some of the most vital reporting going on all around the world right now, from Iraq to Vancouver, is not reporting at all, because, of course, the bloggers didn't have the wherewithal to graduate from journalism school and enter into the corporate media. So again, the same kind of characterizations of Josh's work as were thrown out when Brad was killed were evident in this. Now, the grand jury, you know, in the United States, what happens is that if a person refuses to comply with a grand jury order, he can be jailed until the grand jury is over with, for the entire life of the grand jury. And that grand jury will now run through July. Josh has always been has already been in jail for over 100 days. He will be the longest-serving reporter on any one of these cases, and there have been a number of one in the history of U.S. journalism, and yet the U.S. press has seen fit to ostracize him and not consider him a reporter and a member of the U.S. press.
That's quite extraordinary. How does that coverage, how does that compare with the coverage of Josh Wolf's case, compare with that of the New York Times reporter Judith Miller, who refused to reveal her source in the case of the White House official who illegally revealed the name of a CIA operative?
Right, Richard Armitage it turned out to be. But, you know, here Judith Miller was notorious for having written 11 front-page stories for the New York Times in the run-up to Iraq, talking about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, relying pretty much on testimony from Ahmad Chalabi, and other discredited sources. And the Times chose to run it 11 times on the front page. She was not prosecuted for war crimes, because, but nonetheless, you know, it was her stories that really set the stage for the Bush invasion. She was prosecuted for refusing to give up the name of a neocon who had, in fact, outed the wife of ex-Ambassador Joseph Wilson, who had displeased the White House over the question of the Niger uranium. And she did not give up Armitage's name for 85 days and went to jail and became a great hero of the U.S. press. Of course, she is a J-School graduate, New York Times reporter, and not a very ethical reporter. I might add that those 11 front-page stories ran at the same time she was publishing a book called Germs on Biological Warfare, so the Times was really giving her front-page publicity for her new book, apart from printing these 11 mendacious reports that got us into Iraq in the first place.
So then, what's your analysis of why these independent and activist reporters have received the dismissive treatment compared with the treatment that she's got?
Well, I think it really does go back to the class nature of U.S. journalism. This is the corporate media, and the corporate media reports on the corporate world. And indeed, the kind of reporting that I do, the kind of reporting that Brad did and that Josh does, and a great number of other indie reporters and independent reporters around the world, goes another way. It looks at the news from the bottom up, not from the top down, not from power down, but from the resistance that exists in the street to all sorts of crimes against the people, the neoliberal impositions in virtually every country in the world that have impoverished the people and forced them into resistance. And that is the most important story going right now. And the corporate press, by eliminating that story, not covering it, not looking at the movement, and castigating reporters who do report on that, is really missing out on what's the most important story of our times.
So how can people show solidarity with Josh Wolf and work to protect journalists who are working at the side of people in anti-capitalist and other social justice struggles?
Well, I think that, you know, certainly the protests around Brad's desk and death are ongoing. Interestingly enough, the U.S. Embassy in Mexico City has called for an investigation. No investigation has been done, so I think people should be writing the Mexican government, the President Felipe Calderon. I don't have the numbers here, but they're eminently available in indie media, sending your letters of protest and demanding that the investigation be conducted into the death of Brad Will, into the murder of Brad Will. And Josh Wolf, there is a webpage. Again, I don't have the address, but look for Josh Wolf, and you'll find different ways to be able to aid and publicize this case. It's really important to get this information out, because all of us in the independent press are threatened with this kind of prosecution. And I think that, you know, we have to come together, both those people who our readers and those people that are our writers need to join together to be able to protest and defend independent journalism.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with me this morning.
Okay, thank you so much, Peter.
Okay, bye now. I've been speaking with John Ross. He's the author of Zapatistas, Making Another World Possible, Chronicles of Resistance 2000 to 2006. And his article on the war on rebels, rebel reporters, can be found on the Counterpunch website or linked to from our site at corpradio.org/redeye.